Chapter 21. Noah's arms around her were strong and comforting, and she let herself fall into them. He stroked her back absently, soothingly, but she could feel the tension inside him, coiled like a spring. "What's wrong?" he asked. "Katie May, talk to me. What happened?"
"Can we please get out of here?"
she asked, her voice muffled against the fabric of his shirt.
"Of course," he said. "But what happened? You need me to go straighten the guy out?"
She pulled back and shook her head, suddenly aware that Lloyd might be able to see them. She didn't want to risk a look through the window, so she began walking further up the sidewalk, aimlessly, wiping her eyes.
"It's okay, I just want to get out of here," she said, as he followed her. "Could you give me a lift?"
"On the bike?"
he asked, glancing back at it.
"I can, sure, I have an extra helmet, but I can go get the truck if you want to wait."
"The bike is fine," she said. "Thanks."
"Katie, what happened?" he asked, almost having to keep up with her as she hurried back to the bike. "You're scaring me now, Malone."
"I'll tell you when we get home," she said.
Fresh tears began to stream down her face at her own words. "When we get home." Four simple words, and yet a universe of meaning in them. She tried to banish the warm thoughts they brought to mind and focus on getting back to the cabin, getting out of this dress and these heels, and just possibly getting drunk. It took a bit of maneuvering to hike her dress up enough to climb onto the back of Noah's bike, and the helmet made her head feel like she was a bobblehead. But as soon as he took her hands in his and wrapped them around his waist, she felt completely safe. She nodded through his reminders about leaning with him and smiled with gratitude when he said he'd go slow. When the bike rumbled to life beneath them, she clung onto him and let the helmet rest against his shoulder with relief. The night air seemed to flow right through her as he guided the bike expertly through town. Her hair flowed out beneath the helmet, and the skirt of her dress danced joyously in the wind. The cool air refreshed her, even made her shiver a little, and she tightened her grip around Noah's waist, feeling every tiny movement of his body as he steered the bike. It was a relief not to have to speak for a few minutes. The noise of the bike and her position directly behind him made talking impossible, and she was glad for the chance to settle her thoughts.
Lloyd McGill.
Lloyd fucking McGill. Sitting there so smug, pronouncing judgment on her, telling her why she hadn't been good enough for him. A guy who had played the long game just to have a 10-minute fuck on her couch and then disappear, thought she was too easy. A guy who wanted to get married, all right, just not to someone like her. It shouldn't sting this much, she chastised herself. It shouldn't matter at all. He was yet another selfish jerk with a highly tuned double standard when it came to sex. She'd played his game and lost, that was all there was to it, and she should just shrug it off and consider it a lesson well learned. Something he had said did linger, though. He hadn't even known she liked him? Was that another lie? Or did he actually mean it? It had to be another lie. There had been times at work when she'd had to go to the ladies' room to splash cold water on her reddened face, convinced that she'd said something too blatant or made it way too clear how much she liked him. She'd hinted, broadly, a few times about how much she liked joking around with him, and she was almost certain she'd done all the telltale things women apparently did when they liked a man. The touching, the hair flipping, the laughing at his bad jokes. At least she thought she had. She tightened her arms around Noah as he drove them out of town and up the hillside towards the cabin. The air was somehow sweeter up here, the scent of cedar floating on the breeze and evoking memories of childhood summers, the way aromas often did. The lake sparkled in the moonlight, and the boats bobbing in the distance reminded her of last night, swimming naked in the cove with Noah, and how perfect it had almost been. She probably should have invited him in last night, despite the discomfort they'd both felt after their conversation. If words between them were the problem, if talking only brought up issues neither of them could face, maybe she should have shut her damn mouth and kissed him out there on the porch until they were both so fired up they naturally worked their way inside,
dropping clothes, undoing snaps and zippers, and shedding everything else that was in the way until they made it to the bed and to each other. But she hadn't. And hearing Lloyd's stinging words echoing through her head, she began to wonder if she knew why. It was there, clearly, lurking beneath the surface in every encounter between men and women. The double standard, the insistence on one set of rules for men and a completely different set for women. God only knew why this had ever developed, but it would be stupid to ignore it, as so many other women had done and paid dearly for it. And considering this relationship was already supposed to be purely physical, just a summer fling between two horny people, ... She closed her eyes and tried not to cry. If Noah ever said to her what Lloyd just had, her heart would never recover. If Noah went on to marry someone he found more respectable because Kate had been too easy or too clearly summer fling material and nothing more, she might not even survive it. She tightened her grip around him even more. With her head to the side, resting on his broad shoulder like this, she could watch the boats on the lake and count the points of light that rose and fell on the gentle waves. She wished the two of them were out here on this lovely night for a better reason. She wished she could just enjoy clinging to his strong body and feeling his thighs against hers. She wished she could stop the tears from welling in her eyes. "You let your life happen to you." Lloyd's voice invaded her thoughts. What a thing to say. As if she placidly accepted whatever came her way. As if she hadn't sold her apartment and quit her job and committed to a brand new business in a town she hadn't lived in for years. She wasn't passive. Was she? "I didn't know if you'd say yes." A whisper of a thought teased her through her tears. Did Noah know she'd say yes? It was a simple enough question. So simple that it was easy to overlook. But it began to take shape in her mind now, unfolding like the petals of a flower. Did Noah know, absolutely know, that she wanted him? Not just that she wanted to get married and have kids and do all that domestic stuff, but that she wanted to do it with him? He had to know. He had to. He had to see her struggle. He had to see how difficult it was to stay away from him. She had made it abundantly clear that she was only on this dating site because her first choice wasn't interested. Hadn't she? She hadn't come right out and said she wanted to marry him, of course. And she hadn't said those three little words that would have made him more than uncomfortable. She couldn't do that to him. The last thing he needed was some clingy girlfriend to ruin his dreams and guilt him into settling down. But he knew, didn't he? They turned up the winding gravel road that led to the cottage, and she felt the bike slow. He glided to a stop on the side of the road and killed the engine. "It's late. I don't want to roar up here on this noisy thing," he said. "We can just walk it in the rest of the way. Is that okay?"
"Of course. Good idea," she said, climbing off the bike and standing aside while he swung his leg over the seat. She worked the helmet off her head and tossed her hair around to shake loose the impression it had made. Helmet hair. Never a good look. He took off his helmet, too, and secured both of them in the box behind the seat. He began to push the bike up the gravel road, and she fell into step beside him.
"So, you want to tell me what happened?" he asked after a moment.
Crickets buzzed around them in the night air, and a cedary breeze wafted over them. She sighed and looked up at the stars.
"Tonight was that blind date thing I mentioned," she began, mostly to put off telling him the rest of it for as long as she could.
"Yes," he nodded.
He was being patient, and she appreciated that. She sighed.
"I don't know if I told you everything about why I moved back here."
"You told me about the no more fucking around thing," he offered. "Is that what you mean?"
"Yes, but more specifically, how I decided on that."
He looked at her again quizzically, and she knew she wasn't being very clear, jumping around like this. She closed her eyes and started again. I had a lot of bad experiences, as you know, but the final straw happened right before I decided to come back here for good, she said. I went out on a date with the guy I knew from work, someone I really liked. We had a nice dinner. I went back to my place. She trailed off. She could feel Noah tense a little, but pressed on. I don't want to overshare here, she said, by way of apology. If it's too much. No, go on, he said. I just hope he didn't hurt you. No, she said. Not physically, anyway. We made out on the couch for a bit, and before I knew it, we were having sex. It wasn't something I usually did. It just felt right in the moment, you know? It felt passionate or something. Anyway, it doesn't matter, really. The point is, as soon as it was over, he got up and left. I mean, it was literally 5 minutes later, and he was out the door. Noah made a small noise, like he was drawing air in through his teeth. Anyway, she said again, swallowing hard, when I showed up tonight, it was him. Your blind date? She nodded. I couldn't believe it. Wow. Noah's expression grew puzzled. So, did he know he was being matched up with you? No, not at all. And I didn't know it was him, obviously, she said. He's been using his middle name on the site. That's why I never made the connection. Wow, he repeated. That must have been awkward. She felt the tears stinging her eyes again. It was worse than awkward. It was horrible. He basically told me that he wants to get married and settle down, but not with a slutty girl like me. Noah stopped walking. Kate kept walking a little, looking back at him. She couldn't keep talking about this if Noah stood there making a big deal out of it. Yeah. She gave a bitter little laugh. He said I was too easy. He said someone who fucked him on the first date wasn't wife material, essentially. He said other things too, she thought. Things that she couldn't share right now, not with Noah. Noah didn't speak for a moment, and she could almost feel him thinking. She could hear her words still floating on the air, and the longer the silence grew, the more self-conscious she felt. Part of her wanted to rush to fill the silence, to change the subject, to utter banalities and brush it all off like it was nothing. Say, that's a nice bike. How many cc's is that? As if she knew the first thing about cc's. But part of her knew enough to shut up and let the man think. If he was thinking that maybe Lloyd was right, so be it. It should be refreshing, knowing that the guy she was involved with wasn't in love with her and never would be. It should allow her to take a deep breath and relax, have some fun like other people her age. It shouldn't make her fight back tears as they walked up this road, gravel crunching beneath their feet. Some guys really hate sex, Noah finally said. She almost stopped walking herself. This was not at all what she had expected him to say. Of all the things she'd expected him to say, this was at the bottom of the list, even lower than, hey, look, there's an asteroid coming. Okay. She drew out the word and laughed a little. Not sure what you've been smoking, but I'm serious, he said. Some guys, a lot of guys, maybe, have a love-hate attitude towards sex. They love the pleasure. They love the whole physicality of it. And they're absolutely driven to do it. But they also hate it. They hate themselves for wanting it and for giving into it. And they end up hating the women they want, too. That's what my dad told me once when he gave me the talk. And it stuck with me. Her heart did a little flip at the mention of his father. She had always stepped gingerly around the subject with both he and Paige, not wanting to open old wounds. His father sounded like a wonderful dad, exactly what a teenage boy needed. The fact that he had been taken away from his son right when he needed him was beyond heartbreaking. He said to watch out for that when I started to get seriously interested in girls. I was only 14 or 15, but he said I should be careful not to go down that road. And after he said it, I started to notice that a lot of my friends were doing exactly what he said. You know, lusting after the girls in school, but cutting them up at the same time. Wishing they could get with a girl, but scrawling, "She gives good head," on the bathroom wall. Some guys were way worse. They'd take pictures of girls they had sex with and then spread them around school. She nodded, remembering just such an event. The girl involved had been bullied so much she'd had to transfer to a different school across town. But the boy who had taken pictures of her on her knees in front of him had remained unscathed and had even become a bit of a hero among his friends. "So that's why I say some guys hate sex," he said. "It has nothing to do with you. It's entirely their loss if they can't see how amazing it is to have mind-blowing sex with a woman and just enjoy it. Especially with an incredible woman like you." How could mere words make her entire body tingle? They could, though. For a moment, she felt almost dizzy, like her feet were no longer touching the ground. But instead of falling down, she felt like she might just drift up and up and up and do a little Tinkerbell twirl, giddy and breathless at the same time. Heat flushed her cheeks, but it was a delightful warmth that made her feel like she was glowing from the inside. "You're pretty much the perfect man, aren't you?" she said. He laughed. "Hell no. I can be pretty dense sometimes. Just ask any of my ex-girlfriends." He hesitated, as if not wanting to detonate a mine under those words. A muscle in his cheek flexed. "But I know a good thing when I see it." Kate looked over at him and their eyes met. Their gaze held for a moment until they came to the cabin's driveway and stopped. "Can you stay for a bit?" Her words flowed out smoothly, easily. "I want to show you something." "Sure," he said, and wheeled the bike over beside her Mini. He propped it up on its stand and pocketed the keys with a grin. "What kind of something?" "Just come on," she said, reaching out for his hand. He smiled broadly and came around from behind the bike to take her hand in his. "You got me all curious now. What is it?" "You'll see," she said, and began to lead them further up the gravel road. They walked hand in hand, his large, strong fingers feeling so comfortable in hers. The gravel crunched softly beneath their feet, and the crickets sang a chorus of hazy summer bliss. They walked in silence, stealing glances at each other now and then, smiling when their eyes met, tilting back their heads to look up at the stars. Over a rise in the road, they came upon it. A field of wildflowers, crazy with color and long grasses, bordered all around by cedars and red huckleberry. She stopped and squeezed Noah's hand as they stood before it, and looked up at him to see his reaction. His mouth was open, just slightly, and his eyes moved over the field like it was a wonder of the world, which made her happy in a way she couldn't even explain. She'd loved this place as a teenager, and had been afraid some developer might have built a McCottage on it, but here it was, still wild with blossoms, still quiet and peaceful and beautiful. She thought back to the night she'd found it, the night she'd been too worked up to sleep and had crept out, thinking she'd go for a walk to calm her nerves, but finding this little piece of heaven instead. It was the day Noah had held her hand for the first time. He hadn't meant to hold her hand. He'd simply been helping her down off the roof when she and Paige had been stupid enough to try sunbathing up there. He'd been so stern, so disapproving, but beneath his anger she'd seen real fear. And something else, too. Something different. Something very unlike the concern he'd shown for Paige. He'd helped her onto the ladder, and when he'd taken her hand, she'd felt a jolt of electricity as powerful as touching a live wire, even if only for a few breathless seconds. She'd watched him carry the ladder back to the shed with Callum, noticing for the first time how broad his shoulders had become, how much taller he was now, how much different he was starting to look. And then he turned to look back at her, and their eyes had locked. Like a punch in the gut. That's how she described it to herself later. Like all the air had left her lungs and she couldn't take another breath. He wasn't looking for Paige. He was looking right at her. As if he'd felt her eyes on his back. Had felt her staring at him in newfound wonder. As if somehow he knew. The intensity of his gaze had just about melted her. She'd felt the ground beneath her start to wobble, or maybe it was her own knees threatening to buckle, and for a moment she thought she might pass out. No wonder she hadn't been able to sleep that night. Noah and Callum had gone about their day, of course, doing whatever it was that teenage boys did on a hot summer day, and had probably forgotten all about having to help the silly girls down off the roof. But Kate hadn't forgotten. It was a nothing moment for Noah, but it was an awakening for her. And when she'd stumbled upon this field of flowers that night, and sat there reliving the day over and over again, she'd felt in her bones that something monumental had happened. She'd picked some flowers, inspecting them in the moonlight, running her fingers over their velvety petals and inhaling their subtle aroma. She dug her fingernails into the earth, feeling the sting of the dirt wedged right up against the quick, wanting to feel everything and smell and taste and remember everything about this day. She leaned back against the soft grass and let her imagination soar, dreaming up the most vivid scenarios she could imagine, all involving Noah and this perfect night, with the wind in the flowers and the stars winking above. She knew now why she'd become so interested in flowers as a career. Her little bundles of heirloom seeds, wildflowers the way nature had intended, were like little miracles in a seed coat, just waiting for the sun and the rain and the nurturing earth to make them bloom. It was miraculous how something so plain and small could blossom into an effusion of joyous color and scent. She turned to look at Noah again. His expression was still so hard to read, something like a mixture of astonishment and uncertainty and embarrassment. She didn't know better. She'd swear he actually looked embarrassed, gazing out over the field of flowers. "Are you okay?" she asked, feeling a twinge of worry. He swallowed and turned to look at her with a quick smile that didn't meet his eyes or hers. "Yeah, sure. This is, really something. Really something." What did that even mean? And then she remembered, and the realization stung like a slap. What had he said about talking to guys about flowers? That it wasn't sexy or something like that? The guys didn't want to hear about her flower business or Luna? She bit her bottom lip, hard, and looked down at the grasses flattened beneath her feet. "Sorry, I just wanted to see if this was still here," she said ruefully. "We can head back now." "No, no," he said, but his eyes were moving quickly, and she could feel him thinking again, although he was trying desperately to look casual. "Noah, what's wrong?" she asked. "I know what you said about guys and flowers. I'm sorry if this isn't your speed. We can go now. Katie, no," he said, and turned to face her. He took her other hand in his and stood before her, holding both of her hands in his head lowered to look down into her eyes. He looked like he was trying to say something, but couldn't find the words. The longer he stood there, and the tighter he squeezed her hands, the more worried she became.
What?
Her mind whirled, and her heart began to pound. "Please don't tell me we've been a mistake. Please, 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 not now. Not here."
There's something,
he began, and looked down and away before finding her eyes again.
"There's something I wanted to tell you. I just haven't found the right time."
The words themselves could have held such promise, could have lit her up like a firecracker, but delivered as they were, with a softness to his voice that was more shame than romance, with eyes large and dark but somehow shadowed by guilt, she felt another kind of punch to her gut. This one solid and heavy, burrowing deep within her with an all too familiar weight.
"Don't cry, don't cry,"
She clenched and unclenched her toes in her fancy low-heeled shoes, needing some way to dispel all the energy that was buzzing through her.
Whatever he says, don't cry.
I'm afraid... he began.
Oh, nothing good ever started with the words, I'm afraid. She stepped back and dropped his hands.
It's okay, you don't have to say anything,
she said, aiming for lighthearted and missing it by a country mile.
It's late, and you probably want to head home, so, thanks for being there for me tonight. I really appreciate it.
She half-turned, knowing she couldn't say anything further without her voice breaking or the dreaded tears falling. What a shit show of a night this was. First Lloyd McGill and now Noah, blanching at her romantic gesture, such as it was. Thank God she hadn't actually invited him in to the cabin or... Katie, wait a minute, he said, reaching for her hand and turning her around. Why do you keep doing this? She blinked.
Doing what?
Turning away, going all stiff and aloof, pretending like you're not upset, when clearly you are. She opened her mouth but couldn't respond. She knew she was doing it. It was what she always did when her emotions were in danger of stampeding over her. But Janie Mack, he couldn't truly be in the dark as to why, could he?
It's like you're always afraid I'm going to reject you somehow. Is that what you're worried about?
She swallowed, but didn't want to answer. This kind of frankness was new to her, at least when it came to dealing with men. She was two for two tonight with blunt guys flat out addressing things she wasn't sure she wanted to face.
Maybe a little,
she admitted, swallowing hard again. Well, I'm not going to, he said, and stepped closer to her. He smoothed a few curls away from her face as the breeze blew them across her eyes. He regarded her for a moment, his eyes moving quickly again, his mind so visibly working that she was surprised she hadn't picked up on how transparent a thinker he was before now.
Okay, she finally said, for lack of anything better to say. I'm glad.
I wanted to tell you.
He hesitated again, and then seemed to give in to something. He closed his eyes briefly, and when he opened them again, he met her eyes with keen focus.
I got a text from Global Medic. They wanted to know if I could come down there early. This week, in fact.
She frowned, her mind tumbling over a whole new set of thoughts and emotions. She would bet any amount of money this wasn't what he had been intending to tell her, that this was just something he'd settled on to get out of telling her what he'd really wanted to say. But even if that were true, the submission was devastating enough. Come down there early. This week. Snatches of words echoed through her mind as the awareness of their meaning grew. Global Medic wanted him down there early. He was going to leave.
But I said no.
She stared at him, and for a moment it seemed as if the crickets had paused their nightly serenade and the breeze had settled down. Even the flowers stilled, poised on their slender stems as if waiting to hear what happened next.
You said no,
she echoed quietly.
I said no.
There was no sorting out the swirl of emotions now. There was no time or space to consider what she should think or feel about all of this, and she didn't even bother to
try. I don't understand. You've been dying to get out of here. Why wouldn't you go now if you could?
He lowered his chin and his lips twitched into that charming, boyish grin she loved so much.
Seriously, Malone, you can't figure it out.
He pulled her to him, gently, tugging her closer until his arm was around her waist. He lowered his voice to a seductive murmur.
I want to spend every moment I can with you.
She couldn't tell if she raised her lips to his or if he lowered his mouth to hers, but when they came together, the kiss was slow and deep and sensual. She wrapped her arms around his neck and pulled him down to her, her lips lingering, her tongue slipping into his mouth to mingle with his. He groaned and tightened his grip on her, and the kiss grew even deeper, even more passionate, until they were both breathless and eager and filled with want. He moved one hand up to her hair, sliding it through her curls until he was holding the back of her head, gripping her fiercely, his fingers clutching at her hair as though he couldn't let go. Their noses bumped against each other as he angled his head to one side, or she angled hers to the other, their lips roaming over each other with desperate need. His breath was warm against her cheek as he breathed out, his breaths growing faster and shallower as he deepened the kiss. His desire released something in her, and she could feel something deep inside her letting go, sweeping through her, filling her with warmth and a heady desire of her own. She kissed him back, running her hand up into his hair and sliding her fingers through the short, silky strands, gripping him as desperately as he was gripping her. She wanted him, certainly. She'd always wanted him. But she couldn't deny that feeling his desire for her was the spark that ignited her flame. They sank to the ground where they stood, first to their knees, their lips still together as they pulled at clothes and belts and fumbled to get unruly fabric out of their way. Bare-chested, Noah's skin glowed soft and warm in the bright moonlight, his muscles moving fluidly as he reached for her and guided her down on her back. She'd unzipped her dress and let it slide off her shoulders, and now watched in breathless anticipation as his large, strong hands roamed up her body to her lacy bra, popping loose the tiny clasp in front and freeing her breasts. He rose over her, lowering his head to nuzzle her neck and collarbone, and she arched her back, eager for the sensation of his lips trailing over her skin. He dragged his mouth over her breasts, groaning with pleasure as he captured her nipple and suckled gently, swirling his tongue over the hard peak again and again. She felt the pleasure right down to her core, felt her body tighten and clench and flood with warmth. He lavished her other breast with his mouth, kissing and licking as he went, suckling and nipping at her until she thought she might faint. His eyes rarely left hers. Large and dark and hazed with pleasure, his eyes pinned her, pleasure and wonder mixing within them in equal measure. He rose up to kiss her, abandoning her breasts for a moment as he claimed her mouth, sinking into a sensuous kiss so luxurious she never wanted it to end. But then his mouth was back on her nipple, and she never wanted that to end either. She ran her fingers over his chest, savoring every hard line, every ridge of muscle, loving how warm and solid and safe he felt beneath her hand. His hand was hiking her dress up, moving the smooth fabric slowly up her leg and over her hip. The breeze tickled her thigh and whispered against her belly, so cool and delightful against flesh that rarely got to enjoy the night air. And then his hand was slipping her panties aside and caressing her. He kissed her deeply as his fingers slid between her folds to swirl sensuously over her clit. She gasped into his mouth as they kissed, and the sound made him groan with pleasure and rub his finger over her faster. Faster, lighter, faster, harder, he teased her relentlessly, his tongue against hers matching the rhythm of his finger. He pressed his body against her, his cock hard and urgent against his jeans, and she reached for him, fumbling with the zipper and then the barrier of his boxers until finally his warm shaft was in her hand, surging against her, aching to be stroked. She glided her hand down the length of him and back up, slowly at first, lost as she was in the intense pleasure of his fingers on her clit and the wet heat of his mouth on hers. He groaned and flexed his hips, his cock moving smoothly in her hand. The motion of his hips and the silken feel of him sliding through her fingers drove her wild, and she began to pant, whimpering with pleasure as she edged towards climax. He broke the kiss to gaze down at her, his eyes now alive with lust, mutely asking the question she knew he wanted to ask. She knew it was up to her. She knew she could break away from him and flutter back down to earth from the heights they were both reaching, and it would be all right. He would let her. He wouldn't push.
But it was no longer about what he would do or wanted to do. It wasn't even about the silent plea in his eyes. It was about what she wanted and everything she wanted him to know. And she did want him to know. She needed him to know. She wasn't a passive observer of her own life. She wasn't going to hide what she wanted when all she wanted right this minute was him. "Please," she whispered, squeezing his shaft a little as she stroked it. "I want you inside me." His eyes flared at her words, but before he could speak, she rose up and kissed him, pulling him down to her to make sure he fully understood how serious she was. He hesitated just for a moment, and then lowered his jeans and boxers down over his hips and kicked them away. She slid her panties off and lifted her dress over her head and off, wanting to be completely naked with him. The flattened grass beneath her felt prickly and rough, but she didn't care. She lay back and welcomed him, gathering him into her arms as he settled himself between her legs and fell on her mouth again, kissing her with slow, exquisite heat. He braced his weight on his forearms on either side of her and nudged her thighs farther apart with his until she could feel the head of his cock poised right at her opening. The thrill of it surged through her, the familiar yet somehow brand new sensation firing through her. She wrapped her arms around him and tilted her hips up, offering, inviting, all but begging for him to flex forward and enter her. His eyes flickered with pleasure that was almost pain, and he slid into her with one long, smooth stroke. She closed her eyes and groaned, feeling her body envelop him, enjoying the pleasant stretch of his cock parting her soft, wet flesh. He slid in deeper, going slow, inching into her carefully, his breath catching at the sensation and his muscles tightening. He was inside her, fully as deep as he could go, nestled within her right to the hilt, and for a moment in that simple stillness, it was enough that their bodies were joined. It was enough that he was finally inside her, that he was surrounding her, over top of her, his bare chest brushing against hers, his hips settled so perfectly between her legs. The breeze rippled through the flowers all around them, and she opened her eyes to look at him, to see the stars twinkling behind him and feel the warm night air whispering over them. He looked impossibly beautiful in the moonlight, and she raised her hands to frame his face, bringing him down for a gentle, sensual kiss. "This is perfect," that kiss said. "This night is perfect, and you're perfect. And being here with you, like this, in this place, is all I've ever wanted." And then he began to move, and a whole new world of pleasure consumed her. He flexed his hips slowly at first, so slowly she wasn't even aware of it, lost as she was in the deep heat of their kiss. But new sensations began to spark through her as her body responded to his slow withdrawal. The easing of that gorgeous stretch and the feeling of fullness, only to be stretched again, filled again as he stroked back into her, flared within her so deeply she felt it throughout her entire body. She gasped at the pleasure and was rewarded with a flicker of desire in his eyes and a soft groan as he stroked into her again. Her hands roamed down his back and over his ass and lingered over the tight muscles, flexing and relaxing, moving and tightening and then releasing, as his hips found a slow, sensual rhythm. It felt so natural, and at the same time, like nothing she'd ever experienced. Her body craved him, pulled him into her, and squeezed around him as her hands gripped his ass and guided him deeper. She dragged her lips across his neck, his shoulder, kissing and tasting as her breath left her in gasps and moans. It was more than just sexual. It was carnal. Her whole being needed him, every part of her needed to touch and taste and feel every part of him, as if the steady thrusts of his hips against hers and the almost unbearable pleasure of his cock inside her were only part of the experience, and maybe not even the most important one. because now and then he'd slow his rhythm and pause, still deep within her, and lead with his eyes and his lips and the tender brush of his fingers against her face. She saw so much in his eyes, fell so deeply into them that even the stars above him faded into a soft, hazy glow. She caressed his face, enjoying the rasp of stubble beneath her fingers, and brushed away a strand of hair that had blown across his eyes as he did the same for her, both of them breaking into smiles and gentle laughter. When the breeze died down and the flowers around them bowed their velvety petals, he stroked into her again, as slowly as the first time, and ignited that same pleasure in her all over again. And that's when she understood. He wasn't just having sex. He wasn't just performing the ancient dance of bodies seeking their own release. He wasn't just getting off, closing his eyes and dreaming of someone else or some other fantasy to add to the physical pleasure her body was providing. He was making love to her, with her, focusing on her, letting her know, without even speaking, that he was here with her, enjoying every small moment, every touch and gaze and sensual kiss. She almost wanted to cry. She'd always wished sex could be like this. She'd always hoped that the men she opened her heart and her body to would respond this way. If she'd been asked what she wanted by any of them, if any of them had looked at her the way Noah was looking at her now, she'd have known she'd been right to hope for something so much more than the mere act of sex. As he lowered his lips to hers and kissed her with breathless need, she forgot all about any other man in her past. And any other man in her future, either, her inner voice whispered to her. How could anyone ever be more perfect for you than him? She arched her back, tightening her legs around his waist and gazed up at him. You're incredible, she said between hard breaths. Oh my God, Noah, this feels so good. She thought she might see that delighted grin again, but instead his expression pinched into something close to suffering, but which was, she knew, intense pleasure and lust combined. He began to move faster, his thrusts shallower but even more pleasurable for their speed. She moaned at the new sensation, the new nerves he was igniting with his quick strokes. Waves of pleasure rippled through her as his new rhythm built and built. She was going to come, she could feel it, and as her orgasm began to climb towards the breaking point, she gripped his shoulders and lifted her hips up to meet his thrusts. Oh God, Katie, he moaned, looking even more pained. I don't know if I can. I'm going to come if you keep doing that. Good, she breathed, as their bodies moved together and the pleasure spiked within her. He groaned and closed his eyes. I want you to come first. He barely got out. I don't know if I can hold back. She clenched his shoulders, tight enough to leave white finger marks behind. Just come, baby. I'm coming too. The sound that escaped from him was like a moan of pleasure and a cry of pain combined. His body convulsed, and the first spasms of his release flooded into her as she kept moving with him, heightening his pleasure and hers. Her own orgasm built, so much more slowly than she'd ever experienced before, every part of the climb an intense agony of pleasure, until with a final cry of her own, she shattered. The explosion of pleasure that rocketed through her made her back arch and her legs squeeze around him so tightly he could barely move. Her muscles rippled and began to tremble as she rode wave after wave of a sensation she couldn't even describe. Pleasure was too small a word. It was as if she'd been turned inside out, like a shockwave had washed through her and left her shaking and weak. Her breathing felt different. Her heart pounded in her ears and practically out of her chest, and as he thrust into her once, twice more, with shallow strokes that could have been the last spasms of his orgasm, she felt her womb flutter again with a series of mini-orgasms of her own. 2, 3, 4 little ripples of pleasure that made her gasp, and then, to her own utter shock, laugh
She laughed. She laughed with a joyous abandon she hadn't felt in years. She laughed with such unbridled delight he could be in no doubt that she was giddy with happiness. She wrapped her arms and legs around him and rocked him side to side, giggling breathlessly against him as he laughed into her shoulder and went along for the ride. She was in a field, outside. She was naked and frolicking with the man she adored. She just had the best sex of her life and the kind of orgasms she'd only read about in books. And more than anything else, she felt free. Free from thoughts of tomorrow and how to navigate her uncertain future. She was here, now, feeling every sensation, listening to every sound, so sharp and clear in the night air, the hum of the crickets, the breeze through the grasses. Even the flattened grass that scratched against her as she moved felt good. She gazed up into Noah's eyes and saw reflected in them her own delight. His beautiful face was effused with bashful glee, his grin so wide and boyish he looked about to burst into laughter himself. Whether he was reacting to the sex or to her giddiness, she couldn't tell, but she didn't care. For one blissful moment, and for the first time in her life, she didn't wonder what he thought of her, or how much he had enjoyed it, or even what she looked like now, after the breathless, heart-pounding euphoria was over. She didn't even feel the need to speak. She didn't need to comment on how good it had been, because he knew. She didn't need to tell him she'd had the best orgasm of her life. He knew. She didn't need to tell him how good he felt on top of her, inside her, so strong and powerful and yet gentle and sensual, driving into her with heavy, rhythmic strokes that drove her insane with need. He knew. But more than that, she knew. They both knew, and it was wonderful. He cupped her face, first brushing away a stray blossom that the breeze had blown under her nose, and stroked the soft skin of her cheekbone with his thumb. His eyes drifted as he gazed at her, taking her in, scanning her eyes and her lips and even her nose. His lips pursed to contain a bashful grin that broke free and made his whole face glow. He lowered his mouth to hers and kissed her gently. She cupped his face and caressed his stubbled jaw with her thumb, brushing lazily over his cheekbone so delicately his eyelashes fluttered and he shied away from the tickle and laughed. She loved his laugh. She loved the sound of it, deep and rich and almost husky. She loved the way his eyes danced and his lips curved into such a boyish grin. She loved feeling his happiness humming through him as he lowered his head to her shoulder and laughed. When he lifted his head again and smoothed some curls from her forehead, she ran her hand down his neck, over his broad collarbone and down his chest, trailing her fingers lightly until they lingered over his heart. The strong, steady beat beneath her palm matched her own. She looked down at her hand, slender and small against his broad chest, and felt another flush of pleasure. Just seeing her hand on his naked chest, knowing that she was free to touch him like this, that his body was hers to touch and taste and explore, filled her with an almost inexpressible happiness. She pulled him down, squeezing her thighs around him so she could hug every inch of him. He slid his arms beneath her and rolled over, taking her with him as he turned over on his back. She giggled with surprise and delight at the suddenness of it, and laughed as grass fell from her hair and onto his face. He squeezed his eyes shut at the cascade and batted the blades away with comic exaggeration, laughing as some fell into his mouth. When he opened his eyes again, they were bright with merriment, and then, when he met her gaze, they softened to a warm glow. She could have happily drowned in those eyes forever. "You know, I had a fantasy about doing something like this once," she murmured, not wanting her voice to disturb the gentle quiet of the night. "Is that so?" he mused, devilish delight flaring in his eyes. "With me?" "Maybe," she teased. She lowered her lips to his for a gentle kiss. He kissed her back, just as gently, and when she lifted her head up again, his eyes opened slowly, as though he hadn't wanted the kiss to end quite so soon.
"I might have had one or two fantasies about you, too," he said, matching her playfulness.
"Oh, really?" Her heart skipped a little, fluttering in her chest as though the butterflies had given up on her stomach and migrated north.
"Might have," he shrugged, playfully putting out his bottom lip.
She nodded sagely.
"I see. Because, you know,
anything's possible." She grinned at him and teased his bottom lip with her finger. He twitched his lips to kiss her fingertip, and she let her finger drift down to his chin, and then down his neck to his chest. She lay down beside him, nestling into the curve of his neck, and snuggled in close as his arm came around her comfortably and drew her to him. She felt him tilt his head slightly, so it was resting against hers, and then felt the soft touch of his lips moving to gently kiss the top of her head. She kissed his neck the same way, with the same slow, gentle pressure, and nuzzled against him. The breeze against her glistening skin cooled her, wicking away the sweat and leaving goosebumps in their place, and she shivered a little. Although some of that may have been aftershocks from the orgasms, she thought with giddy delight. The flowers and grasses swayed lazily around them, and the stars winked at her, bright and happy again, slowly turning above them in the dark, dark sky. "Oh, yes," she thought, as a rush of warmth filled her lungs on a deep breath in, and Noah kissed her again with a soft murmur she could feel through his chest.